You know, I do everything I can to give you the best advice that I can. It comes from my head and my heart, because I want to empower you so you can take better control of your life. But there are times the advice or information or opinion I give to you doesn't ring true or is just straight wrong. And that's why we have Clark.com/ClarkStinks, so I can learn from you where I may not have the whole story or I'm just missing the boat. And then once a week, Krista goes through your posts on Clark Stinks and shares highlights with you right here on the podcast.
I should have never encouraged you to speak.
You must think I'm pretty stupid.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe you're right, pal.
These first two are near and dear to my heart, Clark. The first one from Frank says, the EcoTank ink does not cost about $10, LOL. It is over $50 for the genuine replacement set. Try to keep up. And then Peter said, I love your podcast. Regarding Epson printers, according to Consumer Reports, my Bible whenever I purchase anything, in their June 2019 issue on page 15, they state, because of consumer data we received about our poor reliability of Epson printers, we no longer recommend any Epson models.
So, Krista, did you write in as both Frank
I did not.
And Peter?
I did not.
You didn't?
I promise.
Okay. So, the Epson printers, well, they've been an interesting story because I love my Epson printer because the ink does cost me basically like nothing. And I bought my Epson printers at Costco. So they come with this huge supply of ink and I run that printer to death and I've never had to actually buy ink. So maybe it is $50 total for all the four ink colors. Let's see, magenta, blah, 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 and black, whatever the other two are. Anyway, so the Epson's, as you said, Consumer Reports really likes the Epson printers. Their readers don't because of reliability issues. Although I haven't experienced that. Krista, you experienced everything, every form of reliability problem you could with the Epson printer. Mm-hmm. And then you took it to the top of a building and dropped it off.
No, I'm still using it.
I thought you got rid of
it. No. We use them at home. We use it at home and I use it at work.
Okay. So Consumer Reports has a new write-up on them and says, instead of buying the Epsons, buy the Canon MegaTank line. The Canon MegaTank line comes in different price points. The cheapest one is only $110. Then they've got a super fancy one that's $300. And then they have another one that's even fancier at $329. And for Consumer Reports subscribers, you can see the specific models. The beauty of these is the ink is not really a factor for your wallet like it is under the whole Hewlett-Packard business model.
On a recent show, a caller was trying to get a rental car for vacation and was shocked at the price of one. You suggested instead he take an Uber to an in-town rental car place. My family went to San Antonio recently and we took the city buses everywhere for $12 a week pass per adult and even less for kids under 12. Total cost, less than the price of one Uber. Everyone riding the bus was masked and there was a rider limit of 16 people per bus and social distancing spaces were clearly marked, making bus travel still safe during COVID. Google Maps will also tell you where to catch the bus and subway, what time to catch it, if you need to make transfers, and how long each leg of the trip is. On the app, you can see the bus coming your way and info on any delays. We saved hundreds on transportation on our trip simply by taking the bus and choosing a hotel near a multitude of bus route stops.
So, a great suggestion. I apologize for never thinking about that. You know, a lot of times people are going to areas where there is no public transit and they need to have a rental car. And the rental car thing is becoming a game changer in the cost of vacations right now in the U.S. Thanks for the suggestion, though.
Friends don't let friends eat grocery store sushi, Clark. I marvel thinking about how polite your sushi-loving guest was when confronted with grocery store sushi. Please locate an actual Japanese sushi restaurant close by where making sushi is an art. The same dedication you have to sharing your financial knowledge with us, that's the same level of commitment a Japanese sushi sushi chef.
Try that four times.
Oh my gosh. She sells seashells. So
since I doubt
you'll ever hear from your sushi loving friend again, instead take Krista and the rest of the Ace Clark Howard team out for an actual sushi meal. And this is from longtime listener Nancy. Grateful for the money you've saved my family for years, because that means we can buy real sushi when we want it.
Thank you for that suggestion. And actually, I've had two other people make that suggestion to me since I talked about the grocery store sushi and what a ripoff the whole paycheck sushi was. For people who don't know, that's Whole Foods.
Clark, from what you're talking about, it sounds like you had an iFit subscription that comes with a free year with certain exercise machines. You got an email from iFit when you bought the bike that you now have a free year of iFit. I'm pretty sure you ignored it. And I and thousands of others kill for iFit subscriptions. There is a whole huge world of us that love it. Yes, it's like Peloton, but we think it's better. We are all aware of the resubscription. Not sure how you missed it, Cindy.
So Cindy, I bought the bike from Amazon and never ever did business with the iFit people, and then got the email that they were charging me the $400 renewal. That it must have been something in the terms and conditions when I bought it from Amazon for my daughter that said that I was agreeing to a subscription service, and Amazon gave them my credit card information and my address, because I never had done business with these iFit people. So I felt really blindsided by that $400 bill.
Another one about this from David in Texas. I listened to your show and was taken aback that even Clark, the all-wise one, got taken. I heard your piece about the recurring charge you got hit with when buying the exercise bike on Amazon for your daughter. I had to stop and ask myself, did Clark not read the reviews on Amazon before purchasing the bike? I love your show and listen to you as often as I can. I just wanted to take a moment and rub a little salt into an already open wound.
Thanks, David. So the good news is I got the email from them telling me they were going to charge my card in 3 weeks. And so I called and I canceled. So I was actually never charged for it, but it just felt blindsided. And so, yeah, from everything that I gather here, I should have read some kind of notice from Amazon that they were giving my information to the iFit people. And I didn't even know that kind of thing happened on Amazon.com. Have you ever had that happen to you on Amazon, third party being given information?
No. Have you asked your daughter if maybe she set up an account with them?
She did not. Okay. She used, from when she got that bike, she used the Peloton software, because her iFit didn't even come with a screen. So she was using a tablet that she attached to it. It was her own tablet, and subscribed to Peloton. And then she eventually got a Peloton bike.
Frequently, when you mention your three favorite funds, you say that Vanguard requires $1,000 to start investing with them. Not true. I opened a Roth IRA for my girlfriend's daughters by opening them as money market fund for $300 each. Once opened, we purchased Vanguard's total stock market index fund ETFs. As they put in their earnings, it gets over $1,000, we'll switch to the mutual fund. I'm pretty sure you can open it for $100 this way, but you might be limited on available ETFs at that amount. And that's from Dale.
Dale, thank you. I've never heard of that workaround, opening a brokerage account with Vanguard for a smaller amount of money and then buying ETFs, which have no minimum that you have to use. So I'll check on that, because you're teaching me something, which is why we do Clark Stinks.
Clark, you're always telling people not to invest in their company stock. I am so glad I didn't listen to you when I was a young man working in an entry-level position for a company called Capital City /ABC. The company gave you 8% interest on any money you saved during the fiscal year in their stock plan. On April 1st, you could purchase company stock at 15% lower than the price that day, or 15% lower than the stock price from April 1st to the previous year, whichever was lower, a 23% return on your money. The company executives used to call the plan the idiot test, meaning you'd have to be an idiot not to take the deal. In 1994, the Cap City stock split 10 to 1. A few months later, the company was purchased by Disney, which offered 6 shares of Disney for every share of our company stock. A few years later, that split again 3 to 1. I now have 180 shares of Disney for every 1 share of company stock I bought years ago as a young man in an entry-level position. Disney sells today for about $190 a share. That means for every share I bought of my original company, it's now worth over $34,000 each share. So I'm so glad I maxed out and bought as much company stock as I was allowed to. There are a lot of us Cap Cities millionaires quietly around the country glad they took the deal.
I am so excited for you, and I'm so glad that this worked out so well for you. This goes in putting all your eggs in one basket. And in your case, it turned out to be a basket that laid golden eggs. And that is absolutely awesome. It is also why people who buy individual stocks may have a stock that rockets in value because they happen to pick the right stock. The thing is, you don't want to invest solely in your company's stock. In fact, it should only be a sidelight. In your case, it was what appears to be brilliant and fantastic and created great wealth for you. And on that score, congratulations.
I tried Mint Mobile per Clark's recommendation. Their map shows extensive coverage throughout my area. After buying the 3-month plan, inserting the SIM, my phone, totally compatible per their website, would not accept my area code. They said the map is wrong. Even their map pin target on my address says 5G. I have nothing. Joseph.
Joseph, I am so sorry. You know, people who sign up with Mint Mobile and it works as advertised just love it and how much money they save. But when it doesn't work, it is a disaster because now you have to port your number back out and you have to go back to somebody else for cell service. And I'm sorry that the mention of the special deal from Mint Mobile turned out to be anything but special, and I caused you nothing but hassle. And I just am so sorry that my advice backfired on you.
All right. And this was sent in on April 2nd from Charlie. Over dinner last night, my 16-year-old son was on his Android phone reading news articles. I was in deep conversation with my wife when he interrupted, "Oh no, Clark Howard died today." His demeanor was believably serious. I must have been so preoccupied and caught off guard that my critical thinking skills were impaired. My heart sank into the pit of my stomach as I dropped my fork and everyone went silent. After a good 5 to 10 seconds of being mentally stuck trying to process this terrible loss, he said, "Happy April Fools." The entire table burst into laughter. My son clearly knows how important you and your team have been to his dad. Thank you for everything you do, and I'm very thankful that you're okay. Sincerely, Charlie. I'm knocking on wood. I'm knocking my head because there's no wood near here.
So,
you're well. You're alive and well.
That would be a bad
thank
April
goodness.
1st if I croaked. So, hopefully I will stay healthy and alive with us for a long time. And nobody pull a joke like that on my wife, okay? That wouldn't be a good thing. Well, next, there's a new win for companies and their workers. I want to fill you in how there's a win-win where we all come out the winners, except for your fellow taxpayers.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
I want to tell you something I am just ecstatic about. There's a new federal law that through 2025 allows an employer to pay for a portion of education that you decide to get. Doesn't even have to be related to the work that the employer does. And they can pay for it, and you don't get taxed on the money. Their employer is allowed to contribute over $5,000. I think the exact amount right now is $5,250 for 21 that they can contribute towards you taking some educational courses that might improve your job prospects where you are or somewhere else. Your employer can also take up to that same amount of money and give it to you to pay on your student loans. And again, that is non-taxable to you, but a deductible corporate expense for your employer. It is a perfect situation for employers as they're going to find it harder and harder to find workers this year and through the 20s to be able to attract workers and keep them by offering this employment benefit over these next several years and help people get more skills or help people as an incentive to come to work for them or stay working for them to know that the longer they stay, the more of their student loans they won't have to pay because the employer will have done so. Now, I know there are people who say this kind of thing is not fair to people who didn't take out student loans. This kind of thing is not fair to people who didn't go to college. And both of those things are accurate if the other part of this was not also true, which is that you can get additional workplace skills and the employer can pay for it. And at the same time, you won't be taxed on that. And that's really, really great. So the things that are eligible are books, even things like a computer to do the courses you're going to do, tuition, and then, of course, the loan repayments. Now, your employer does not have to do this. This is a voluntary benefit they can extend. But again, the employer gets the full tax benefit, and you have no tax you have to pay on receiving it, which is absolutely great. I still remember, though, you know, I worked my way through school, most of undergraduate school and then all of graduate school. And I went through graduate school working for IBM, and IBM had a full tuition reimbursement plan at that time. They didn't pay for books, but they paid 100% of my tuition. And the way it worked was I had to get an A or B in a course. C's or below didn't count. I had to pay the tuition. Then when I got the A or B in a course, they then reimbursed it. So my master's degree was free. And how cool is that? And back then, that was a tax-free benefit in that era. And the thing was, it's terrible to confess, I was never a very good student. But I was so incentivized to get good grades so I would get the free degree that my first semester in grad school, I had a 3.9 grade point average. Whoa. On a 4.0, an A and A and an A minus. And I slacked a little the rest of grad school, but ended up with like a 3.7, I think, grade point average. And let me tell you, this is a guy who even getting a 3-point-something grade point average was a bridge too far because I was never good academically.
But saving money has always motivated you.
Saving money. I had a postgraduate degree in that forever ago, and I was definitely going to get that free degree. And here's the kicker on that. There were 550 approximately employees at that IBM facility. I was one of only two that took advantage of free tuition.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's there at so many places, and people don't grab the opportunity.
My dad did that. He went to night school. He got his undergrad and grad degree from New York Institute of Technology over a 10-year period of working full-time and going to night school.
And it led to enormous career success for him.
Yes. You ready for questions?
I am.
Michael in Pennsylvania says, I want to give you a suggestion for your listeners when using services like Cash App. I have a code sent to my phone number whenever a new login is made to my account. Without this code, I can't log in. Even if a crook has my information, they won't be able to access my account because they'll need the code. Please share this information with your listeners as this can give people an extra layer of protection and confidence when using Cash App. It's a fairly easy process to set up and can save users a massive headache if a hacker does have access to their info.
Great suggestion. And any financial site that you can set up two-factor authentication is what that's called. Do so. And with the Cash App and its competitors, please do that. Because let me tell you, once your money's gone from your account to a hacker, it is gone forever. And that's why the two-factor authentication is a great idea. In addition, I'm really big on you setting up a whole separate checking account just for Venmo, Cash App, or if you want to use Zelle, any of those three. Have a separate account that's not going to put your main money at risk, that you only fund with the amount of money you need for routine transactions for Venmo, Cash App, or Zelle.
This is from Mary Ellen in Massachusetts. She says, my husband and I currently rent our home from my parents and are saving every dime so that we can buy it from them in the next 2 years. We've accrued substantial savings and I used some of it to pay off the credit cards. Should I have done this or have left the savings alone and kept paying on the cards? I feel guilty looking at the savings account now that I used some of it.
Don't feel guilty at all. The interest you're earning on the savings account is a fraction of 1%. The average interest on credit cards is 17%. You are obviously saving like a maniac right now, living on less than what you make, and getting rid of the credit card debt means that in the future, the money you're able to devote strictly towards being able to buy the house will be much more efficient money than what it is if you're paying the high interest credit card debt.
Okay, Carla in Kansas says, my son was hit outside his school by another student. I have only liability on his car. My insurance determined she was at fault, while her insurance thinks he was at least 50% at fault. Structural damage to repair the car was over $1,600 with used parts for the rear end without the bodywork repairs. And now the seal around the back door is leaking and rain is coming in. My agent has a recording of the other driver admitting she swerved into my son instead of away from him. Is there anything I can do to make her insurance pay something?
So her insurance is playing a game called subrogation. They're trying to dodge responsibility for paying your damage claim because of the fact that they don't want to pay for him. They'll pay for her. So the best thing to do is take that other driver to small claims court. Their insurer is going to have to defend the refusal to pay. And odds are, particularly with the evidence from your own insurer with the recording, the other insurer will bend and will not play the dirty subrogation game that the insurer is playing, and they'll pay the claim because it's particularly not a giant claim. So for them to send a lawyer to deal with it and the clock time preparing and all that, once you sue them, they're more likely to come forward and do the right thing instead of doing the wrong thing.
Paulette in Georgia says, we're planning on a Disney trip in 2 weeks and everything is contactless transactions. We've been saving and have cash set aside for food and souvenirs, but with the contactless requirements, is it all right to buy gift cards to use? We don't want to use our credit or debit cards.
Yes, you could do that. You could take the cash, turn it into a gift card, and pay that way. Although you could do something else. You know pretty much what you're going to spend. So if you make a payment in advance, what you would put on the gift cards to one of your credit card companies, use that card for the transactions, keep a record of the transactions you do, then you're mentally using it like you'd be using a gift card or using cash. Then you have the protections that come with a credit card that don't exist with a gift card.
This one kind of sounds like a riddle. It's from Donnie in Michigan. He says, is it better to learn finance or economics to be wealthy in life?
Well, neither is going to make you very interesting at parties. It's just true. But finance will usually make you a lot more money over time than an economics degree. I would say both of them lead to decent career paths, and whichever holds greater interest to you, that's what I would do. And I know this is a terrible bias I have. There are a lot of people, some of the brightest minds in the country go into finance, and it would be better if they went into careers that help them contribute to production in the country instead of financial engineering. Just my own bias. Thank you for being part of Team Clark. For those of you who did study finance and resent what I said, go to clark.com/ClarkStakes. But I want to tell you that I appreciate you being a part of Team Clark. And for advice that we offer for free and have done so since early 1993, that rhymes, our Consumer Action Center is here to serve you. You can learn more about how to get free advice one-on-one at clark.com/CAC.